Thank you, Peter. Thank you, Ephraim, Bevan. That's funny. My dad used to do that all the time. My dad would use the wrong names in the wrong spot. Now I'm doing it. Great. I was talking to Dalen at the back as he handed me the mic pack, and he's like, and I asked him, how old is that mic pack? And he's like, that's 20 years old or so. And I'm like, and how long have you been doing this? This is all about 30 years and thousands of events. So this morning I called out Heidi's service with our communion bread, and I'm also just noting the faithful who just serve. Thank you, Dalen, as well. This morning's sermon is titled, God Our Refuge, Our Strength for Today. As we come together today, we find ourselves amidst the backdrop of seasons, long nights, and short days, accompanied by a prevalent wave of winter illness. Beyond the usual winter blues, there is an unmistakable sense of unease that has woven its way into our world, both into the physical and spiritual realms. It is almost as if the lingering echoes of the COVID pandemic have unveiled a world gripped by fear, teetering on the edge of uncertainty and instability. Trust in once reliable institutions has waned. The evidence of corruption at levels previously only imagined by conspiracy theorists has shaken the very foundations of our society. We no longer need to wear a tinfoil hat to recognize that things that once appeared stable are now unraveling before our eyes. This isn't merely about inconveniences like missing a favorite variety at our grocery store. It is about profound impacts on fundamental aspects of our lives, manifesting in various forms, including a growing health and mental health crisis. In acknowledging these challenges, my intention is not to dwell on the complaints or delve into political debates about our country's leadership. Instead, it is a humble recognition of the difficult times we are currently navigating and heading into. Times when tangible hope may appear hard to come by. It is precisely in these moments that the timeless wisdom of the Bible shines ever more brightly. Let's open in prayer. God in heaven, we thank you that you hear us. We see and we know from your word that the world around us is without lasting hope. We see the outcome of denying your principles and your truths generation after generation. We thank you for the Bible, for in it we have been given reason to hope, for it tells us that we can trust you and we can depend on you and that you are in control of everything. Amen. Psalms 46 is a hymn of praise and a testament of deliverance. It was built for days like today. This psalm, believed to have been written during the period of significant national crisis, possibly when Jerusalem was besieged by the Assyrian army during King Hezekiah's reign, speaks profoundly to our present day experiences of conflict and uncertainty. The psalmist's words, set against a backdrop of upheaval, captures experiences we can relate to in one way or another. As we turn to this psalm, we are reminded that despite the chaos and turmoil of the external world, whether it's nature's fury or national unrest, one constant remains: the steadfast presence and power of God as our refuge and strength. This psalm reassures us that amidst all the apparent upheaval, the sovereignty and might of God remain unshakable. Today, as we look at this psalm, let's consider these words and how they are meant to guide us in these difficult times. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth should change, and though the mountains shake into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its lofty pride. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling place of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be shaken. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations roar, the kingdoms shake. He gives his voice, the earth melts. Yahweh of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come, behold the works of Yahweh, who has appointed desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts up the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Yahweh of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. In the opening verse, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. We encounter a foundational truth about God's character. This statement echoes the enduring promise found in Deuteronomy 33:27. The eternal God is a dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Here, the psalmist affirms that God is not a distant deity, but an ever-present help in times of need. His nature as a refuge provides a sanctuary of safety and comfort, while his strength empowers us to withstand life's adversities. This dual role of God as both shelter and source of power offers us a wellspring of peace and resilience, especially when the ground beneath us seems to tremble. Verses 2 and 3 of Psalms 46 paint a picture of nature in upheaval. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. This imagery is vivid and dramatic, symbolizing the most chaotic and unpredictable forces of nature. Yet the psalmist's response is one of unwavering confidence. This steadfast assurance mirrors Jesus' command over the natural elements as seen in Mark 4:39, when he calms the storm, showcasing his authority over creation. Just as the disciples found peace in Jesus' command, we are invited to place our trust in God's sovereignty. These verses challenge us to reframe our perspective during difficult times, encouraging us to lean on God's unchanging nature as our refuge and draw strength from Him. As we reflect on these verses, let's consider the earth-shaking events in our lives, the moments of uncertainty, fear, our people. How do these situations shift when viewed through the lens of God's steadfast presence? The psalmist encourages us not to succumb to fear, but to anchor ourselves in the truth of God's enduring nature. God stands unshakable. He is a refuge and a fortress. In Him we find peace. As we go deeper into Psalms 46, we find ourselves introduced more to this God who is our assurance and our strength, particularly as he addresses the unstable environment of the nations. In verses 4 to 5 of Psalms 46, we are presented with a strikingly serene image, a stark contrast to the earlier depictions of natural chaos. The psalmist describes, "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns." This imagery is extra special when we consider the context of Jerusalem, a city notable for its lack of a natural river, unlike other major cities of its era. Yet, what Jerusalem lacked in physical waterways, it abundantly possessed in spiritual terms the continual presence of God. The divine presence was akin to a life-giving river, an eternal source of joy, strength, and sustenance. The river in the psalm symbolizes God's provision and blessing, flowing into and enriching the lives of his people. Furthermore, the historical backdrop of this psalm likely being written during a time of siege adds depth to this imagery. In a situation where physical resources may have been scarce, the psalmist emphasizes that the true source of the city's strength and gladness was not in its physical defenses or its natural resources, but in God himself. The divine presence within the city made it unshakable, promising assistance at the break of dawn, a metaphor for timely divine intervention. This passage is a powerful reminder that in our times of trial or scarcity, we definitely can depend on God and his provision, just as the Jerusalem did. We too can call and find our peace and sustenance in him. It challenges us to look beyond our immediate circumstances and to trust in God's unfailing presence and help, which sustains us through every season. The imagery of a life-giving river also reminds us of the Holy Spirit's continual presence in our lives, as Jesus described in John 7:38-39, speaking of living water that would flow from the Holy Spirit through believers. This living water brings peace and vitality, much like a river nourishes a city. In our lives, the Holy Spirit brings tranquility and strength, even amidst global instability and personal challenges. Moreover, the peace brought by the Holy Spirit is not just for times of external calm. It is easy to feel at peace in picturesque settings, like sitting on a beach watching the sunset. However, the peace that the Holy Spirit brings is of a different nature. It is peace like a river that flows deep and steady within us, even when the world around us is in chaos. The peace is noticeable and distinct. It is a peace that surpasses understanding, a peace that the world notices because it stands out in stark contrast to the turmoil so often seen. As followers of Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit, we carry this peace within us. And it is not just for our benefit. It is for the benefit of others too. In times of turmoil, our tranquil spirit, anchored in God's presence, can be a source of strength and comfort to those around us. This peace, like a river in our soul, empowered by the Holy Spirit, becomes a testimony of God's sustaining power and love, drawing others to seek the same source of unshakable peace and hope. As we go on to Psalm 46, 6-9, we witness another contrast between the chaotic nature of human conflicts and the supreme authority of God. The psalm states, "The nations make an uproar, the kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth, who makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire." These verses highlight God's dominion over both conflict and tranquility. The use of desolations in verse 8 is notable. In context, it's referring to divine judgment. This same concept is echoed in prophetic texts like Isaiah 13:9, Hosea 5:9, and Zephaniah 2:15, depicting the day of the Lord as a period marked by divine intervention, particularly in judgment against wickedness and injustice. These desolations aren't just acts of destruction. They're integral to God's sovereign plan to usher in a new heaven and a new earth where his peace and justice reign. The instruction to stop your fighting, presumably directed at the nations, reinforces this theme. It is not merely a call for peace. It's a command from God, the ultimate authority over all realms. In this light, the imagery of breaking the bow, cutting the spear, burning the chariots, represents God's proactive involvement in halting warfare and fostering peace. These symbols indicate an end to human attempts at control and dominance through violence and conflict. This section of Psalms 46, therefore, not only portrays God as a refuge amidst the turmoil of nations, but also as the ultimate peacemaker whose actions transcend humans' understanding. His plan for peace, not fully intended for this world, is a promise of hope in future where his divine order and justice will be the foundation of the new heaven and the new earth, where there will be no more death, mourning or crying or pain. Verse 10 of the psalm says, "Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." This is particularly striking. This isn't merely an invitation to relax. It's a command to recognize and accept God's supreme authority. It echoes the humbling truth of Isaiah 2:17, which says, "The loftiness of man will be bowed down, and the men who are high will be made low, and Yahweh alone will be exalted in that day." In our own lives, this calls for a posture of surrender and acknowledgement of God's absolute sovereignty over all circumstances. The psalm circles back in verse 11, echoing the statement of verse 7. "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold." This repetition serves as a reassuring refrain, underscoring that amidst all the instability, natural or international or national, God remains our refuge and strength. In conclusion, Psalms 46 does more than just present a picture of God's sovereignty. It offers us profound assurance in a world rife with uncertainty, where nature and nations are often in turmoil. Our hope and stability don't depend on shifting earthly circumstances, but rest in the unchanging nature of God. As we face our personal and communal uncertainties, the truth encapsulated in this psalm guides us to seek solace in God's control over all. Reflecting on Psalm 46 in its entirety, we are reminded of a God who stands unshakable amidst the turmoil of nature and the uproar of nations. This psalm, grounded in the reality of our unstable world, directs us toward a steadfast hope and trust in God and his enduring sovereignty. Let us carry this assurance into our lives and into our unique contexts, finding peace and strength in the knowledge that God is indeed our refuge and fortress. The psalmist's invitation to be still and know that I am God has been a personal anchor through some of my darkest and most painful times. These words encourage us to pause our movement and striving, to find quietness, to acknowledge God's sovereignty over our circumstances. In this stillness, we discover not passivity, but the power to trust God and his plans and purposes. As we navigate the complexities of our world's challenges, and even our church's transitions, embracing this stillness and trust in God is crucial. Psalm 46 is a beacon of hope. It reassures us of God's active involvement in his creation, working out his purpose in the grand tapestry of time. Our current challenges all fall under his sovereign control. Moreover, this psalm calls us to be witnesses of God's power and proclaimers of his sovereignty. As we experience God's faithfulness, let us reflect peace as we share these stories of hope and resilience with others. Our testimonies can fortify and uplift those around us, assuring them that they are not alone in their journeys. Lastly, Psalm 46 inspires us to live each day in the awareness of God's abiding presence. Whether we experience in seasons of peace or navigating upheavals, the assurance that the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress, this perspective fully realized would change our view on everything. It is true, but will we live it out in our daily lives, guiding our decisions and our interactions? Let's close in prayer. God, I thank you that you are our refuge and our strength. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can depend on you even as everything else changes. I thank you for the way you take care of us. I thank you for the way you guide us. Thank you for the way you allowed hard times to teach us and cause us to lean into you. I pray for your continual leading in each life here. I pray that we'll be able to live a life of surrender to you. In Jesus' name, amen. This is a communion morning as well, and I have a few things that I would like to say as we move toward that mindset. As we approach the Lord's table for communion, let us remember that the reflection encouraged in this time is not about making ourselves worthy. In fact, it is a time to acknowledge that we cannot make ourselves worthy. That's why he died for us. His sacrifice on the cross is a testament to God's grace extended to us in our unworthiness. However, this does not mean we approach communion casually or without introspection. If your heart is in rebellion against God, if you're clinging to sin and guilt with no intention of letting go, or if you're just not a Christian yet, and you're merely partaking because of the people around you, then it's not the right time for you to partake in communion. Communion is sacred, is a sacred moment of honesty before God. It is for those who, despite their struggles and imperfections, genuinely desire to turn away from sin. It is for those who might still be grappling with issues they've struggled with for years, but who earnestly seek not to be enslaved by them. This is the heart of communion, an acknowledgement of our need for Christ, not a declaration of our perfection. If we were perfect, his death would not have been necessary. So as we partake of the bread and the cup, let us do so with a spirit of humility and gratitude, fully aware of the grace that has been bestowed upon us. Let us come to the table, broken but seeking wholeness, flawed but earnest in our desire to be transformed, not through our own strength, but through the redemptive power of Christ's love and sacrifice. This is the true essence of communion, a celebration of Christ's love, a recognition of our dependence on his grace, and a commitment to live in that grace each day. Can I have those who I've asked to help hand out the elements to come up?